Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, I want to say a special welcome. Welcome to the Christmas season. Thanks for joining us here at church. We're a church that meets in more than one location. So at this point in the service for the message portion, we're connected with our Torrance campus over on Lomita Boulevard. So great that we can be together like this. We're in a series of messages through December called Christmas in Us. And the idea is that sometimes a lot of the Christmas season happens outside of us. It happens with lights and trees and food and presents. Or we think about Christmas as something that happened 2,000 years ago. But actually, Christmas is very much a present experience. God's design is that we would experience the Christmas story in us, particularly the birth of Jesus in us, awakening us to some amazing themes and ideas in Christmas, hope and peace and joy and love. And so what we're doing is we're going through some of the stories, the Christmas stories of the birth of Jesus each week, and that will lead up to our Christmas services, which we talked about a couple of seconds ago. Last week, we talked about the theme of hope and how Jesus wants to bring us hope in this season. Today, we're going to be talking about this idea, peace. Peace in us, and not just in us, but flowing out into other relationships. And let me ask this question, like, think for a moment, what is it that disturbs your peace? Maybe it's conflicts in the world, maybe it's the health issues or finances or family stuff. One thing that disturbs my peace is my dream life. I have a very vivid dream life. I'm one of those people that has lucid dreams where I can actually make decisions to do things in my dreams. They're not just things that are happening to me. And maybe that makes me sound weird, I don't know, but that's what happens to me. And I have a recurring dream about this church and the church building, where I'm trying to get to the church service to speak, but the building is not this building, and it's not our Torrance campus. It's a completely different building, and I'm trying to find my way around. And this is a repeated dream so much that the last time I had this dream, I mapped out what the church looked like because I walked around and kind of made a note in my head, and when I woke up, I could draw it out. So here's a picture of what this strange church looks like. So there's a huge amphitheater. I mean, that kind of like 45-degree angle, the sphere kind of thing. That's the main area. Then back along in the lobby, these are like cement pillars, and then these are the hot dog vendors. You know, like when you go to like the ball game, that's how the lobby looks. You walk along, and there's people getting hot dogs and stuff like that. And then I was like, let me look over here. So I walked over this here, and I went in this room. It's a massive room, and it's a service taking place while the normal church service is taking place, but everybody in here is all the people that left the church angry. But they didn't go to another church. They just went next door in the building, and they're like, we'll do a service over here. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I walk around in the back, and I come down here, and this is a restaurant with booth seating in the style of the 70s and 80s, or 60s. It's like orange and avocado colored and stuff like that. There's some kind of little music. It's a little dark, some candlelight. This is the kitchen area of the restaurant downstairs. No one's in there, though. Every time I've gone in there, no one's eating at the restaurant. I don't know why. And then I come over into this area, and this is an office area, and all the offices are just full, floor to ceiling, with cardboard boxes that are tape closed and have never been opened. And I don't know what all that stuff is in there. And that's the church. And I will say, because it's a dream slash nightmare, I usually have no pants. As I'm walking through the hall, I'm like, where do I go? Where do I? And people are walking past, you know, that whole thing. So I wake up from this regularly, like totally thrown off. My peace is gone. I don't know if you guys have dreams like that. Not this one. I hope not. But you probably have recurring dreams. If you're an adult, some of you have had that recurring dream where you're still in school, but you haven't studied, and now you're going back after 20 years, and there's a final exam. How many of you have had dreams like that? Young people, look around. If you're in school right now and you haven't had that dream, you will have that for the next two or three decades, something like that. We can take that picture down there. So what is it that disturbs your peace? Again, maybe it's the bills, maybe it's your health, maybe it's just stuff going on in the world. We have this idea in our mind, I think, that once things get settled, once things are in order, or I've got the job, or I've got the money, or I've got the family, then I will have peace. But that's actually a myth. If we're waiting for something to happen outside of us to bring us a sense of peace, we will wait our entire lives. God has an alternative for us, and it's this. It's the main idea for today. We can experience peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace doesn't come with the absence of conflict or worry. Peace comes when we invite Jesus into conflict and worry and challenges we face. And that's one of the themes of Christmas. So we're gonna look at a story today that can tell us about this. It's one of the Christmas stories. Here's what we're gonna look at. It's actually a dream. We're gonna look at Joseph's dream. This is the father figure in Jesus's life, in his infancy. And we're gonna look at his story and hopefully come out with a couple of ideas from Joseph's dream and Joseph's life flowing from that that can help us experience peace. And then at the end of our time together, we're gonna celebrate communion together, and then we're gonna sing a Christmas song together as a way to close our service. Last week, we looked at the story of Mary and how Mary was visited by an angel and was told that she would have a miraculous conception to bring Jesus into the world. Now we get to see Joseph's side. Here's what it says. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. If I was Joseph, I'd be like, the power of what? Again? What do you say, Mary? Big conflict for Joseph. Joseph's a good guy. He's a godly guy. Didn't see that coming. And so we see that from Joseph's response when he gets the news. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. He's going to quiet quit his engagement, okay? And he actually loves her, but being a godly man, to enter into a relationship with a woman who has conceived a child out of wedlock would have shamed her publicly. It would have tarnished the community. It would have negatively influenced his reputation as a godly man. And so he's like, I don't want to shame her. I don't want to punish her. But I got to get out of this. And of course, God in his wisdom has already talked to Mary. God's like, I better talk to Joseph. Now bring Joseph up to speed on what I'm doing to bring this unique individual, God in the flesh, into the world. It says, as he considered this, as he's thinking through, okay, how do I break this engagement? How do I separate from this? How do I do it? As he's thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, this is the ancient King David, he was in that royal line, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew, the writer of this, kind of brings in some of the Old Testament prophecies, some of the ancient prophecies, all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, this ancient prophecy. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So Joseph has this dream. Now, if it was me, I'd wake up and be like, whew, that was some bad hummus last night. That was just, well, what the heck is going on? But in ancient culture, particularly in Middle Eastern culture, the idea of God showing up in a dream and giving you instructions was not a strange idea. In fact, it isn't even to this day. Some of the areas of the world that are most closed to religious freedom, I'm thinking about things like Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, we're seeing large numbers of people coming to Jesus without any knowledge of the Bible, without any of the reading of the Bible, and the missions people in those areas are telling us that we have these people that are from either folk religion Islam or primary religion Islam that are saying, Jesus showed up to me in a dream and told me to follow him. So this is very normal in certain areas of the world. And so we see this in Joseph. Joseph has this dream, and to his credit, it says this. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary and his wife, and then he went a step further. He didn't have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And then it says, Joseph named him Jesus. That's what the angel said to do. Take her as your wife and name the child Jesus. What does this story tell us about that main idea I shared with you today? We can experience peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Let me suggest a couple of things. Here's the first one. We can prioritize Jesus as our primary relation. That's one way we can experience peace, is by prioritizing Jesus. That's what Joseph did. Joseph is known in Christian history as a man that put his needs aside to prioritize Jesus in his life. We see him doing it in a couple of ways right here. One, he's prioritizing Jesus above his sexuality. He's like, Jesus is the most, making sure that Jesus comes into the world, making sure that Jesus arrives is so important that I'm willing to put aside my own desires and appetites for a period of time so that I can be in line with Jesus. I mean, this was a challenge for him, really. As a young man, he would have expected, my sexuality is, this is how it's supposed to go. He did that. Not only did he put aside his sexuality, which is a good example for us too. We live in a culture that says, if you have an appetite, it's from God, so you should fulfill it. If you have a hunger, you should eat. If you have a desire, then go experience pleasure for that. Joseph didn't do that. Not only did he not give in to his sexuality what was inappropriate, but he stuck with it. He stayed with the family. Very, very important. So these amazing examples of Joseph. But the other thing too is he also sacrificed his comfort and personal safety, because we'll read in a story, I think we're gonna do it in 2 weeks, Joseph gets another dream where he's told that in order to protect Jesus, he has to move to Egypt, because there are people attempting to kill Jesus as a toddler. And he's like, you need to pack up and leave. So he sacrifices his country, his comfort, his personal safety to protect his family. He's prioritizing Jesus. The early Christians were profoundly influenced by Joseph's example, because there was something about having the Prince of Peace rule one's heart. In fact, last week we looked at a letter in the New Testament that talked about having hope because Jesus is in us. This same letter says this: let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts? It's like, who's on the throne of your heart? What or who rules your heart? In fact, there's a good action step from this. Give Jesus authority over one area of your heart in which you lack peace. Where in your life are you struggling to find peace? And what would it look like to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you authority over that situation, over that feeling, over that relationship? What is it for you? I can tell you what it is for me. I'm at this stage in my life where probably a main struggle with peace is just entrusting my kids to God. I've got a 26-year-old, 24-year-old, and a 19-year-old. And a lot of my parenting journey is done. Most of it's, maybe all of it's done. I don't know. All I have right now is modeling. By the way, if your kids are older, if you have kids and your kids are older, that's your primary way of parenting, is modeling. If you have really small kids or you have grown kids, your kids have the best hypocrite meter. Your kids can see through if you're authentically living for God or you're just playing fast and loose with it. They know. And you young people, you know that. You can see through your parents. You understand? Some of you aren't saying it, but you're like, yeah, I get you. Yeah, I know. I can see it. But I'm at that place where I'm like, God, I just want my kids to follow Jesus. And if I'm not careful, I'll try to push too hard. I'll try to control. You know, some of the first Christians, there's a great line in one of the letters that we have in the New Testament says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. You know, so there's something about like, okay, God, you're working in their life. You're working in my life. Give me the peace. Give me the trust. Some of you have that with friends. You want friends to make a good decision. Or some of you, you want your parents to make a good decision. What would it be like to just kind of say, okay, God, you have the authority in my heart. What would that look like for you? What is that area for you? And that leads into the second thing that we can see as a way to experience peace in our lives that we see from Joseph's story, and it's this. Find your peace in Jesus, not in what's currently happening. That's big. Because again, we tend to look around and we're like, all right, when the world changes, you know, when I pay off this bill, when this relationship heals, when my candidate gets into office, you know, that kind of thing, then we're like, then I'll have peace. And it's like, actually, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a person moving in the direction of where God's moving, your peace is in no way contingent on the circumstances. Not at all. We see that in the life of Joseph. Joseph's plan for his future family completely thrown off by that angelic visit. Once that dream happened, he's like, oh, well, I guess fold it up. I had this idea. Joseph's like, I had this idea. I get married. I have a little boy. He'd go to University of Bethlehem or Nazareth State or whatever. Play pro ball, you know, whatever. Like he had an idea of what his life was going to be like. And God's like, actually, I have a different calling for you. That's really good to know. Like, we create plans for ourselves. And I think sometimes God works in and through those plans. But the reality is, it's like our ultimate peace in life is not connected with us fulfilling all the things we want to do. Our ultimate peace in life is connected to aligning ourselves with the Prince of Peace and allowing him to influence us, allowing our plans to line. See, Joseph had a plan. God had bigger plans. And in Joseph's case in particular, there's a very narrow window for his plan. Like, we don't really even have a lot of information about Joseph either. And apart from the stories of Jesus' birth, and there's a story that I mentioned earlier of when he's around maybe like 1 or 2 years old, Jesus goes to live in Egypt for his protection. And then we have a story when Jesus is around 12 years old where Joseph is involved. Then after that, there's like nothing about Joseph. And there's different views about what might be happening. One of them is that Joseph passed away, that he passed away early. He might have been a little bit older, or he passed away. We're not sure. But what we do know is when we read about Joseph, he is so focused on being kind of a godly center for his family. He's really trying to do his best to prioritize Jesus in his home. And it's a great example for us. I mean, thanks, Joseph, for giving us that example. And again, he's gone down in history as somebody that chose God's bigger plan over his own. Sometimes, and this could be the Christmas season, you might be like, boy, this Christmas season isn't working out like I thought. Some of you are facing the first Christmas season away from home, or your family's not coming in, or you've lost a loved one, or something's happening where you're kind of like, it just doesn't feel like before. I want to encourage you, allow this Christmas season to be what it is. Don't compare it to another Christmas season. Compare it to the extent of which you can open your heart to the peace that comes from Jesus. Let this Christmas have its own unique, special kind of peace. And as you do that, I think it flows out to other people. Other people can tell there's something different happening. In fact, here's an action step for you. Bring peace into one important relationship in your life. Is there a relationship that you could influence through the peace that you're experiencing? Maybe there's tension in the home. Maybe you can release some of that tension. Maybe you can be a person of peace, a person of kindness, a person of encouragement. Maybe there's some conflict in the family, and in the past, you've kind of pushed back. Maybe you don't push back this year. Maybe you just be present. Maybe you just intentionally reach out to somebody, and maybe there's something you can apologize for or say thank you for. Maybe it means taking some special time for yourself so that you're not as stressed out when you come into those situations that can be more challenging. Because it's that peace ruling in our hearts that actually impacts other people. Maybe look at that quote that we looked at before, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. That's not where this verse ends. Look how it continues. It says, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. See the extension? Like, we become people of peace in our hearts, and then we see us all together and we say, hey, how can we live in peace with each other? And somehow thankfulness and gratitude is a big part of that. I've been working on that just for myself, of a relationship this week that I reached out to this person. It was kind of a relationship that's been a little bit tense in the past. And I was like, hey, let's just get together. I'd love to hear what's going on in your life. And just having a brief exchange and a conversation, I said, look, there's no agenda here. I just want to connect with you. And it brought me a better sense of peace. I think it brought that person a sense of peace and maybe opened us up to a little bit of better future relationship. And maybe there's a relationship you could reach out to this week. Here's what we talked about today. We can experience peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And how can we do that? Prioritize Jesus as your primary relationship. And second, find your peace in Jesus, not in what's currently happening. So I'm gonna give us an opportunity to kind of welcome Jesus' peace into our lives by celebrating communion together. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pray, and then after the prayer, I'm gonna hand it over to our Torrance campus. They're gonna be doing communion over there separately, and we'll do it here. So let me pray for us, and then we'll move into this time of welcoming Jesus's peace into our lives and hopefully by extension, all of us together. Gracious God, thank you so much for your love and the peace that you bring into our lives. God, as we celebrate communion together, help us to see that we're all connected to each other in a powerful way through you. We might have all of our differences. We might be disconnected or different in so many different ways, but through you, we can be one body, one whole person together. And this Christmas season, we need that, God. Help us with that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.